Chapter 8. The Dominer's Guest. Call came around with a headache so pronounced he seriously considered replacing the whole of his brain with an augmetic. The inside of his head felt scorched, a sensation he had not thought possible before experiencing it. His brain throbbed with the painful insistency of a scalded hand. His skull felt like an eggshell. He avoided moving for some time for fear it would break and spill the matter that housed his soul over the table. He could not move much anyway. Metal straps at his ankles, waist, throat and wrists pinned him in place to a slatted interrogation bench held at 20 degrees off the vertical. His mind had its own fetters. Warding codes kept him from interacting with machinery. Each attempt to reach out was met by a wall of screeching binaric that did nothing for his pain. But his eyes were uncovered, and he could look around freely. The table was in a large room made small by clutter. Red light gave it a sanguinary, arboreal air, like a forest floor at sunset. Bunches of cabling hung down from the ceiling in liana-like profusion. Banks of machines lined every wall, and more stood in badly placed islands like the trunks of giant trees. Walls of dials ticked with metronomic regularity. Cogitators, on downtime, burbled self-diagnostic cant and made smug pronouncements as to their optimal functioning. A meter away from Call was a trio of servitors who oversaw the running of the room. He recognized the type. Only the brains were required for the task, but for whatever macabre reason, their bodies had not been pruned back fully. They were heads, mounted like trophies on the wall, and even retained their faces as coverings of dead grey skin over their skulls. From neck caps, their spinal columns and the disembodied remnants of circulatory systems plunged, root-like, into glass cylinders of nutrient fluid. More cables ran over the floor in dangerous, foot-snagging twists, furthering the illusion of an electric forest. Beyond Call's immediate vicinity, the chamber opened up into an octagonal shaft. He supposed he must be in the private chambers of Domina Hester Aspertia Sigma Sigma. The domicile was more machine shop than home, a garage for a mechanism that owed nothing to humanity. It therefore had little in the way of material comfort, but the shaft was dominated by a vast articulated cradle within which Call assumed the Domina rested and was serviced when she wasn't scuttling around the connected stations of the heptalogon. Only that detail made his location clear to him. He could otherwise have been anywhere. He was left alone for an age. 1 hour, 22 minutes, 3 seconds, according to his internal chronograph, though on the human scale it felt a lot longer than that. He was alone, unconnected from the noosphere. Without the constant background chatter of machinery and conjoined souls that made up the hinterlands of a tech priest's consciousness, Call was left isolated and alone. It was cruel. He was therefore defiant when the Domina finally came to interrogate him. She rushed into the room like a metal wind, sure-footedly evading all the many hazards her poor maintenance practices created. Her mechapeds made a menacing clatter on the harder parts of the floor. When they encountered softer ground, it was more sinister still, a padding rustling with predatory overtones. The relic animal parts of Call's brain filled him with terrors of fangs and multi-limbed things hurrying over leaf litter. She arrived over him, and her immobile silver face seemed to wear a mocking smile. The flasks swinging from her chest clacked together. In the privacy of her rooms, she did not bother to cover them with her robes, giving Call an unwelcome sensation of intimacy.
"I have reviewed your service records," she said. "You are old for a tech acolytum, of the age that suggests one of three possibilities: lack of enthusiasm, incompetence, or guile. It can't be the first, or you would not have bothered to learn what you evidently have. It can't be the second, or you would not have been able to do it. Logic dictates that it is the third."
A run of floating text scrawled through the air, displaying Call's gene code upgrade serials, images, preferences, psychological profile, and other precious secrets.
Mars, Riser, Antioch, Bellicane, Verica 7, Trizolian, she said. 6 Forge worlds in 19 years. You have delayed promotion to a higher rank, although your command of the mysteries entitles you to a grade 4 above the one you possess. In each world, you have had many masters. I am your 3rd Dominus here. Did you plunder all their knowledge before moving on, I wonder?
You have mine, I know, she said with quiet menace.
How have you managed to move so freely?
The war, Cole did not say, and before that, the Great Crusade. Adepts travelled all over the galaxy on missions to recover all data, unlock the secrets of Xenos technologies before condemning them to the pyre, minister to the machines of the colony fleets, build the technical infrastructures of conquered worlds, and a million other things. Personnel were always in short supply, and Call was very good at ingratiating himself. It had been remarkably easy to move about. He kept his silence about all that. Aspertia waited patiently for him to speak. He stared back dumbly at her mirror mask.
So that is the way you want to go. Your choice, Tech Acolytum.
Metal tendrils pushed themselves from the table, infiltrating his data and utility sockets. Their cold invasion made him tense. She leaned down and asked her first question.
Call? What am I to do with you? She said.
Let me go, said Call.
Do not be glib with me, she warned.
A burst of agonizing electrical force rushed through his nervous systems, both native and grafted. A high current like that, so many delicate connections, so much electronic arcanery nestled within flesh. It hurt a lot. Call screamed. Aspertia shut it off.
You have been caught in the crime of unsanctified modification. To break with ritual is to break with faith, she scolded him. Remember the 16th law.
I think of little else, Domina, said Call. A second painful jolt of electricity passed through his body, stinging hardest where metal met flesh.
Let the motive force castigate the heretic and the experimenter, she said emotionlessly. I shall assess the full extent of your blasphemies.
A green vector line holograph of his modified intelligence core popped into being. She swung her mirrored face to look upon it.
You have been a very, very wayward boy, she said. And yet there is artistry here. There is intellect. But do you have understanding? Do you comprehend the things you have done to yourself?
Call fought through the after effects of the shock to nod his head. Of course I do, he said angrily. How else could I have done it? Another mind-flaying burst of power seared through him. His jaws clenched. Had his tongue been in the wrong place, he would have bitten through it. While he spasmed upon the table, Aspertia Sigma Sigma held up one of her many clawed mechanical hands and turned it around. Haptic interfaces embedded in her metal fingers rotated the image of Call's heretical device.
How did you come by this knowledge? From which data cache did you steal it?
Call could not reply. She glanced at him disinterestedly. She was far more interested in Call's work than the individual named Call, and disengaged the electrical pulse.
I didn't steal it, spat Call.
A rope of milky phlegm hung from the corner of his mouth.
I worked it out myself.
She gave him a long, hard look.
This work is original.
Her electronic voice was weirdly modulated. He nodded. There was no point in denying it.
Your crime is far worse than I expected. You have contravened the law of divine complexity, she said, improving that which, by its nature, as knowledge gifted from the machine god, is unimprovable.
She shook her head slowly, with great and deliberate menace.
Do you realize I could have you dropped in cleansing acid for this?
She looked at the graphic again.
Why did you expose yourself by commandeering the automata?
I could have just let the extractor crew die, said Call. But I've always had an irksome heroic streak.
If I said you perform unholy acts and should be destroyed, what would you say?
I would say you are wrong.
In his frustration, he tugged hard at his straps.
I have done nothing wrong. I seek knowledge, and through it travel the path of the law. Intellect to understanding to comprehension. I honour the machine god in all I do. I want to ascend the mysteries like any other person of our creed. The quest for knowledge is all that matters in the universe.
But you perform experiments on yourself, she said. Without consolation with the ancient teachings, and without full understanding. This sort of work should only be undertaken after you have absorbed the knowledge necessary from the existing sources, and then only with sanction from your betters.
How can you have the temerity to reinvent what is already known?
It is because it is already known that I knew I could work it out, he snarled.
You presume to be as good as the sages of the holy age of technology? A poor answer, she said.
She sounded almost regretful.
No!
Shrieked Call. Another bolt of power burned through him.
This sort of cybermancy is above your position. You are not entitled to engage with these mysteries.
There are many paths to knowledge, panted Call.
His heart palpitated worryingly. Muscles clenched and unclenched randomly inside him. He was in danger of soiling himself. When he looked inside his mind, his supplemental mind's eye display was a wall of aching static.
Experimentation is one of them. I have done nothing against the machine god.
Many would disagree, said Hester Aspertia Sigma Sigma. Most would say your actions are the basest form of heresy. You presume knowledge you do not have. You assume the wisdom of the ancients when you have no right. And yet...
Call screwed his eyes shut in anticipation of another burst of pain. None came. He opened his eyes. Aspertia was pondering the alterations to his intelligence core.
There is genius in this work. Ergo, there is genius in you.
He let out an involuntary gasp, perhaps of relief, perhaps of fear unrealized. He was afraid. He wasn't ashamed to admit that.
Really?
He said, more to delay the next jolt of pain than any other reason.
Careful, Call,
warned the Dominer, wagging a metallic claw at him.
Genius is rare, but genius is still only sentience, the third level of the mysteries. You have much yet to learn.
Learning is all I have ever striven to do.
She withdrew and performed movements outside Call's sightline. The probes detached themselves from Call's limbs with so many metallic rasps, like mechanical leeches sated with knowledge and done with their feeding. The restraints followed, unclasping and beeping out deactivations. The Dominer muttered prayers for proper function as she released her prisoner. Call waited a moment before cautiously sitting. He felt disassociated from himself and feared permanent damage, either from his commandeering of the automata squadron or the punishment meted out by the Dominer, if not both. She twisted around ganglionic bundles of dangling cables, sure as a serpent in its burrow amid the tree roots. Big as she was, the room was large enough to hide her bulk from Call.
What will become of me?
He called out.
Of you?
She replied, her voice emanating from a vox projector in the wall over the display of twitching gauges. She returned a moment later, clasping a bundle to the canisters hanging from her front.
I will let you live, on sufferance. You will serve me directly from now on as an officer of the Tag Mater. You may continue your work. Indeed, I expect it.
You do? He said.
You said that there are many paths to knowledge, Belisarius Call, she said. Why should we neglect any route? As long as it leads to enlightenment. The means do not matter. It is the end result. The comprehension of the machine god's purpose. That is the goal.
You agree with me? Call said in amazement. His hand dropped from massaging his wrist, his pain quite forgotten.
You might say that. I shall remain quiet on the matter. From this day forth, anything you discover, you will inform me of immediately. What you know, I will know.
Knowledge is the price for my life, he said glumly. She threw the bundle at Call. He caught it. Inside a plastic wrapper was a tech priest's robes, embroidered with the Dominus symbology and badges of a permanent member of the Mechanicum's military.
If you had spent a little more time safeguarding your position in the hierarchy, you would know that knowledge is the price for everything. You cannot simply opt out of Martian society, Call. You are a part of it. It is a part of you, for good or ill. You have broken the law. I can protect you for a price, or you can perish.
Then I will serve you, he said.
Good, she said. Good.
She rubbed together half a dozen manipulators. The flasks on her chest banged on the elbows.
Congratulations on your ascension to the next rank. Your days of itinerancy are over, Adept Belisarius Call.